All right, Coach's Corner. This article is called Hold Opinions Loosely. It is from the Humble Dollar blog written by Adam Grossman. We all know how many different factors can and do influence markets, and we also understand how difficult it is to predict the type and extent of impact or influence these factors may have. This article discusses the unpredictability and how we should frame it related to our own investment strategies.
I really liked how there was one part of the article where they made a comment where he wrote, in economics, there's no such thing as E equals MC squared type formula. Like, there's approximates. So I mean, that's what I took from the article, that because I hate this. I hate the speculation and like the trying to predict what markets are going to do by reading data, because a lot of it comes out, right? The product of that research comes out as like, this is what we think is going to happen. And you should operate in ranges, not blacks and whites, which I appreciated to hear. So I don't think I hear that enough. If I heard it enough, I would remember it more. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's like, nope, Merrill Lynch thinks it's going to be, you know, the market's going to be off 10% year to date or this year based on these factors. And I hate that commentary.
Just the definitive nature of it.
Yep. And I also took away, like, dude, how fast does Warren Buffett read? Like, does he just sit in his office all day and just read?
Like, he spends 80% of his time reading.
500 pages a day? What is he reading?
500 pages a week.
Oh, a week. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But still, 80% of his time.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No. I don't believe anything about that guy.
Why not?
Because he's been, you know, he's been, like, sainted as this.
What's his nickname?
I don't know.
No, what is it? It's the, where does he live? Omaha. The something of Omaha?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
It's not the miracle.
It's the oracle.
Chat. The oracle, that's it. He didn't want to tell me.
I hate this guy, but I know the answer to your question.
Yeah, what's your beef with Buffett?
I just think he's enough with him. I thought that basically the good takeaways from this were I talked a lot about the sheer unpredictability of events, you know, COVID, for example, you know, yada, yada. But more importantly, it's the, even if you can predict something, you can never accurately predict what the world's response will be to it, or the, you know, world economy's response to it. Like, for example, you know, the money printing that went on after the financial crisis, everyone was so certain it was going to result in inflation, hyperinflation, interest rates go, like, and it was the opposite. I mean, this time around,
it
contributed big time to it. But there's just so much certainty, especially when it comes to interest rates. It's always been the case where people believe that they can tell you with certainty where rates are going, and it's the hardest thing to predict. It's harder to predict rates than, you know, stock performance or equity performance. It's just crazy to me how many people have such certainty around what is going to happen based on what just happened or is in the process of happening. And I think that the article tries to call that out, and it's spot on. And the other point they make somewhere in there is that, to your point, Jeff, about ranges, it's like you just have to have a way to deal with any variety of outcomes. And that's, we talk about this all the time on here, which is, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D even. And that's the only way to really successfully deal with all the uncertainty that has existed forever. And it still is today, and it will be in the future forever. There's no, you know, that's a constant. And too many people in our industry try to, you know, battle the fact of life, which is that uncertainty is a fact of life, and a fact of investing. And not coming to terms with that. I mean, I don't know. It's part job security, part trying to, you know, sell airtime or newsletters or, whatever, what have you. But it's simple concepts, but kind of some of the most important ones, especially when he's talking to somebody who's freaking out about what's going on and, like, you know, the whole, what are we doing and what changes are we making and how are we going to deal with this, you know, the Russia-Ukraine thing and the energy thing and the inflation and whatever. I mean, there are too many variables always at play that are, when you crunch them all together, there's just no way to know what comes out of that. That's why I laugh at these macro guys who, you know, invest on the basis of...
Explain what macro...
Macro is like, you know, the word macro, it's like, so it's like interest, global interest rates, global GDP, inflation expectations, equity returns. Like, they mash all this stuff together into their little models and they come out with like a forecast, right? We think, you know, U.S. stocks are going to return X this year because of all this stuff. It's a joke to think that you're putting all these things into your blender and what's coming out is anything other than crap.
And that's kind of the point I was making.
Yeah.
If I'm hearing you correctly, that there's just too many variables to be able to come out with a definitive, like, this is what's going to happen.
It's kind of like, I mean, look how sophisticated meteorology is compared to the way it used to be. They can still really only accurately predict, I don't know, a week out.
Yeah,
you know,
and even, I mean, that's like not done 100%.
By now, they'd be able to tell you in a month what's going to be going on.
Really, they haven't improved their balloons yet.
No,
I think it's obviously a huge responsibility of this industry to think about that differently. But then I also think from a consumer standpoint, like, we as investors have to be more flexible. We have to be more comfortable with uncertainty, and generally people just are not, right? I think, look at things, and not the three of us, generally people look at things very black and white, and it makes these unknown, unexplainable, unpredictable events that much more difficult to stomach, because it's like, now what do we do now? Like, how do we react to this? As opposed to, okay, I had no idea this was coming. Nobody had any idea what this was coming. Like, but we prepared, or we planned for some version of it. Not the exact version that came to fruition, but some version of it. I just don't think people generally are comfortable with change or uncertainty, and that makes investing really difficult. Because they want to know, if I do this, this is my exact output. And it's like, that's impossible to know.
That's not how it works.
I thought he made a really great point when he was saying, hey, when we're faced with all these uncertainties and things happen and it doesn't go the way that we had planned. And he gives the example, like, if you're thinking about changing your asset allocation or paying down debt, like, see if there's a way you can do it in like half steps. And I felt like that's worked for some of our clients in the past. Like, when we have a client that the market tanks and they're freaking out, and let's say they're 65% equity, and it's like, we just want to get to cash to just stop the bleeding. To say to that person, it's not the ideal solution, but if you just can't get them to stay invested, why don't we just do like 50-50 stock bond? Like, just get a little bit more conservative. That's going to be better for them rather than just putting it all in cash. So I thought that was a good point. And he said, you know, developing a plan that is flexible, you know, and something that it's exactly what we do. Like, developing a plan that's flexible, one that you can
hopefully stick with.
Yeah, that will work in good and bad markets. And that's something that you'll stick with. I thought was just great advice.
Yeah, I feel like the articles or the concepts that we talk mostly about are all so, like, commonsensical. You know, it's like, and that's kind of the point, I guess, in a way. Like, there's so much unpredictability that even common sense is difficult. Like, it's very easy to understand, it's difficult to practice and to execute upon. But yeah, I think we all agreed this was a good read.
Where he lost me on one section, and I wanted to get your takes on it. He said you want to stay consistent with your investment plan, but you don't want to be overly wedded to it. There's a point where consistency can cross over into stubbornness. What did he mean? Like, does he mean like there's a point where you change your plan?
Yeah, I remember reading that sentence and thinking the same thing. Like, What are you trying to say?
Like you just contradicted exactly. everything yeah. you just wrote. Like, no, like if your plan, unless something from a goal standpoint has changed with you, you got to ride through it. Like, I can't think of a circumstance where you know, if you're 90% equity and it gets cut in half, that if you didn't plan for that, which you have to plan for that if you're 90% equity, that you would shift gears. Did you get that same vibe from that or no?
No, that definitely from that statement. But then he goes into that Aesop example and he kind of like he's referring, I think, to like the stubbornness as unwilling to change. And I think like there's difference in maybe like your opinions on the factors that are occurring and then the investment strategy as a result of that is kind of how I interpreted it.
Yeah, I mean, you throw Aesop and Big Oak Tree and like lowly Reed at me, I'm not...
Yeah, like it was probably an unnecessary ad.